This is not the sound of a stream running through the mountains. It's water from a leaking pipe trickling down a stairway. That's not a frog splashing into a lake. It's a piece of sheetrock falling into a puddle on a kitchen floor. And that's not a hiker taking a deep breath of mountain air. It's a homeowner gasping at the sight of a $12,000 water damage repair bill. 40% of homeowners have experienced water damage. Protect your home with the Moen Smart Water Monitor and Shutoff. Moen.
Welcome to the Making Waves at Sea Level podcast with your host, Tom Singer. In each episode, we will explore the interesting stories of business executives, entrepreneurs, and industry leaders who are shaking things up and growing their companies. It is time to make some waves. Now here's your host, Tom Singer.
This is Making Waves at Sea Level, the podcast for those who shake things up in business and are focused on growth and success. This episode is produced in partnership with the Austin Technology Council. ATC is a 30-year-old association that is focused on promoting and facilitating the growth of technology and technology companies in Central Texas. Over the past three decades, the business ecosystem in Austin has changed drastically, and ATC is actively changing too. Learn more at austintechnologycouncil.org. My name is Tom Singer, and I have hosted this show for 8 years and over 725 episodes. I am also the brand new CEO at the Austin Technology Council. And while this podcast is not focused on Central Texas, during the coming months, I'm going to be interviewing leaders from Austin tech companies and the solution provider organizations who serve them to share with everybody the best advice that comes out of Austin and the Austin Technology Council. And today, I am happy to welcome to Making Waves at Sea Level, Carlos Martin. Hey, Carlos, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Tom. It's a pleasure to be here.
Carlos is the CEO and founder of a brand new company, Makami.ai. And what he does is he uses technologies, process automation, artificial intelligence, and business experience to help give companies a competitive edge. Now, he grew up in Mexico and got his master's at the University of Texas at Austin. And he has worked in tech for over 20 years here in the Central Texas community with companies like Dell, General Motors, and Blue Prism, which actually it was at Blue Prism where he got into this world of RPA, which is robotic process automation. And we're going to talk a little bit about that today. So his goal is to grow this company so that he can make other companies more efficient and help give back to the business community. So Carlos, you just launched the company last week. Tell me a little bit more about Makami.ai.
Thank you. So Makami AI, what we do is we have, me and my co-founder and the team that we have, we are a group of experienced people that we have worked with big and small companies in introducing automation in certain business processes. And so what this does is that it saves the company's money, it saves the company's time, it improves also the customer satisfaction. And the key to that is knowing where to apply these technologies. In other words, the methodology that we use, that's how they get the most businesses. And some of these examples are impressive. There are some customers that an investment, X, they get maybe 10, 20 times the investment just in returns on what they automate.
Nice. So we've all heard a lot about AI. That's all over the news all the time. Yes. But RPA, I hadn't heard of before I met you. Tell us a little bit about what is RPA.
Yes, RPA, in other words, is, think about it this way. Everybody talks about AI. It's in everybody's mind, right? RPA is the counterpart. And the best analogy that works with our customers is this. Think of AI as the brain, making the decisions, identifying, interpreting the language, the things that people say, identifying images, doing vision recognition, those kinds of things. RPA is the counterpart, is the hands that actually execute the work. RPA, it's robots, software robots, that is, that go into different systems, a mainframe or a web application or an email or an Excel or whatever you can think of, and they do these tasks like aggregating information, entering applications, reading documents, etc., and then they make decisions, or they can pass those decisions if needed to the AI as well. So they end up complementing each other in creating really powerful solutions.
So how can a company use these tools to have a competitive advantage?
The way that the secret sauce is the methodology, because a lot of companies, what they do is they go and they start automating from the bottom up. Yeah, we're going to say we're going to automate an Excel for so-and-so. We're going to automate this little document for so-and-so. But the trick to getting the most benefit from these technologies is to think from the top down. All right, where as a company are we needing more efficiency? What areas are being more heavy, are costing the most to us? And those are the areas where you need to go in and apply automation, artificial intelligence, data lakes, cloud, whatever set of technologies ends up working best. In other words, you first look at where you need to improve and become more efficient as a company, and then you figure out the recipe of technologies that you need to use to fix those things.
So how pervasive is the use of these technologies right now?
It is pervasive, but it is becoming a lot more. Of course, these are new technologies, right? So they take longer they take time to become mainstream. They are getting there very quickly, but there is a lot of room still.
So what type of companies are using RPA and AI at this time, and what type of companies will use them down the line?
Right. The reality is that any company, big or small, can use them. Of course, the bigger the company, the more inefficiencies that it has. And as a consequence, the more they automate, the more returns they get. So in essence, it's every company that has any type of operations, invoicing, billing, marketing, et cetera, any type of business operation, they can, I'm sure they have things that can be automated, or where you can add artificial intelligence as well, or a combination of.
So what does it take to get an automation process set up? What's involved in doing this?
So the trick is figuring out, think about this way. You're going to have 10 processes or 20 or so that you're going to think, oh, these are great. Just like your ideas, right? All of us are thinking, oh yeah, I have 20,000 ideas and I think all of them are great. Well, not really, right? There's the test of reality. And so in the same way, you're going to have a group of processes that you're going to think are going to be great, but you're going to do the acid test and you're going to see what is it going to take you in financial terms to implement a solution. What is the return expected on that, whether it be in money, whether it be in time, whether it be in avoiding fines, etc. And then in general, just doing an overall analysis. Also, I was almost forgetting, how much work is it going to take to implement that, right? So you start balancing things out, and based off of that, you start prioritizing which are the most ripe processes for automation to the least, and you go for the biggest ones first. That's where you're going to be most successful.
So how much work does it take? It sounds like undertaking a process like this could take a lot of time.
It could. However, these are really good technologies. These are honestly, impressive technologies. It's almost like building a visual workflow, and the visual workflow is what actually executes, right? So they're easy to build. They're very quick. You can do something. Just to give an example, we did a POC for a customer, and it took a couple of days to automate something that got data from a system and then put that into a data lake and then created dashboards so they could see and analyze their own data. So that took a couple of days. The trick, and again, this goes, you're going to hear me go back a lot to the how, the methodology. So the trick here is understanding that you need to have a good design phase, a good analysis phase. We were talking about figuring out which are the best processes for automation. The other part is once you select those, you need to have a really solid design phase that tells you this is how it's going to be. This is how the solution is going to play. This is how it's going to perform. This is what the SLAs that I'm going to be subjected to. This is the kind of volumes that it's going to have. These are the times where it's going to be able to execute and the times when it's not going to be able to execute. And then you factor all those things in and you create your design based off of those factors. And and then you proceed to the actual development. And think about it in these terms. Yes, these are easy technologies. You can create something quick, but think in terms of a building. There is no architect that is going to start building a building without really having a design. In the same way that because these technologies are easy, doesn't mean that you shouldn't have a solid design phase. So to answer your question is, they're easy. It can be quickly implemented. But you have to plan for it first, and the plan when you are more experienced, of course, is going to happen fast.
So, what other technologies does this type of stuff partner with? It sounds like it touches all the technologies a company's using.
Oh my God, you would be impressed. So these technologies they can connect to, and I'm going to get a little technical here. They can connect to mainframes. They can connect just like I was mentioning, right? Connect and manipulate mainframes, connect medical systems, connect to web portals, etc. But they also can. They also have a way to connect to APIs. So, for example, an API is an AI service from one of the big providers, let's say Microsoft, for example, right? For natural language processing, for visual recognition. So you can actually have those services connect directly to those APIs and then interpret like handwriting recognition, face recognition, etc. Or things like, for example, connecting directly to a database, whether it's local or whether it's in the cloud, whether it's a small database or whether it's a big data lake, etc. So the power of these technologies is how they can aggregate technologies to then create really solid solutions. That's the beauty of it, and that's where the power is.
So give me some examples of some people you've worked with where it's really made a difference.
So one of the biggest examples that I have is a telecom company. They were sending technicians to the field to resolve the customer's problems, and they added a process automation and intelligence to decide to do additional testing and resolve some issues before determining whether they should send a technician or not. And they have other processes, of course, but in that single process, just by adding robotics, adding more decisions and more tests to the equipment, et cetera, they were able to save in one single year per year, $20 million. Just what that one single process. And again, sorry for to sound like a broken record, but we go back to the methodology, figuring out where you're going to get the most return from it.
So you just recently launched the company. You're fully full-fledged out there growing this company now, and you're here in Austin, Texas, where you've lived for over 20 years. What was the biggest difference between when you got to Austin to the University of Texas and now? What are some of the big changes in the world of technology that you've seen?
Oh wow! Well, I remember that when I came to Austin, and I feel very blessed to be part of this community. There was the big players were Dell and IBM, maybe a couple here and there, but when I got here, that's what it was, right? And I remember that you could drive down I-35, go in San Antonio on a Friday night and spend the night in San Antonio, spend the evening and then come back. That doesn't happen anymore, right? So in terms of...
You can still make that drive. It just takes a lot longer.
Right, probably twice as long. And now, of course, the whole area... It looks very different in terms of we have a lot more companies coming in here, right? Tesla, Google, et cetera. And I think that the biggest thing is the ecosystem that has been created to welcome technology and welcome talent and welcome entrepreneurialism, right? We see here that the Austin, the organizations, right? Austin Technology Council, the Chamber of Commerce, et cetera. They're very, I am honestly humbled and impressed on how, invested and how active these organizations are Also, the University of Texas, you know, I bleed orange, by the way, University of Texas, they have a fantastic ecosystem to encourage entrepreneurship.
So you've been pretty involved in the Austin community throughout your career. You were involved with the Austin Chamber before launching this company. And one of the things you did as you launched this company is you joined the Austin Technology Council. Why is it important for you as an entrepreneur to be active in the community? Why do you even care?
I firmly believe that you got to give back, right? That in life you have to give before you get. And I could not be more thankful to be part of this community. I have received so much. How could I not think of giving back, of building, putting my little piece in building this community, right? In bringing people here, creating jobs, bringing technology, educating. The other thing is educating people in technology, educating people in the things that are important to them, right? The example is this program that we have to educate the elderly and the general public in spotting financial scams. It's something that I've failed myself. I've gone through it myself, and I don't want anybody else to go through it. Right. It's just a way to repay all that kindness.
So let's talk about this program. Where did this idea come from? Are you using AI to create the program? You're very excited about the program to help educate people about financial scams and how not to fall to it. How did it come about and what tools are you using to educate people?
Yes. So as of this moment, the tools that I'm using is just education, just class format. Down the road, we have a plan to create an AI to help with that. There is a lot in the market already, but still there is a lot. Everybody sees that in their mailboxes, right? There's a lot of mails that still get through, right? So I have some ideas on that we will be maturing as we go along. Now, as of the why, I personally I fell for one, right? And I lost some money there. And then also my mom, who is an elderly person, she also fell for it, right? Somebody got into her Facebook account, made her believe that it was somebody in the family that was in need of something, and she ended up sending money.
Yep.
So, and here's the thing. There's a lot of other people that we don't hear about that they're getting similar or worse experiences, right? Imagine working all of your life, then just to somebody just taking all of that from you. So no, that's personal to me.
So as we look to the future of Austin and Central Texas and the technology community, what do you think is in store for us in the future?
I think what's in store is fantastic. I think we're becoming another hub, really strong hub of technology. I don't think we're yet to the size and weight of Silicon Valley, but I think we're solidly and quickly getting there. And I could not be happier to see Austin as a place that creates technologies that positively impact the world, not just our community, not just the US, but remember all the technology that we export to the world in general.
So as a longtime technologist and as a somewhat newer entrepreneur, what advice do you have for people who are listening about how to take that leap?
So save some money, set your goals, and socialize with people and think in terms of how you can make their lives better. What can you do to make their lives better, right? We go back to giving before you get. Give. Make yourself useful, and forget about entrepreneurship. Do this in personal. This is just in life, right? Make yourself useful. Volunteer. If you're not maybe ready to be an entrepreneur, at least volunteer. Give you time to help somebody else. You know, there's a lot of organizations. Big Brothers, Big Sisters is one of them. There's many organizations.
So what are some of the challenges you face as you launched your company?
Of course, having money saved for runway, right? Communicating what these technologies are about. One of the biggest challenges that we have is showing people what these technologies are about, because it's not like, hey, it's gonna fix is this little technology that is going to fix this very particular problem. These are technologies that can go really wide. And sometimes the best way you have it is to explain by examples, like the one for the telecom company that we were talking about, right? Then it becomes clear and concise for the people to understand what these solutions can be. And then they can start thinking, oh yeah, we have this other problem here. We have this other problem here. Could we do it? Could we automate? Could we add AI? Could we do this? Could we do that? Yes. At that point, that's how we begin.
So I call the show Making Waves at Sea Level, and it's all about the idea of how do we shake things up in business? And certainly the technologies you use are going to shake things up for businesses. So how is AI and RPA really going to disrupt everything? Because eventually, every business, including somebody like an organization like the Austin Technology Council, someday we'll be using AI to serve our members better. How is this going to change everything?
So think about it in, let's take a step back and think about it in terms of the business, right? What are the CFOs, right? Back to the title, right? Making waves at the C level. The CFOs, the CEOs, et cetera, what are they looking at? And as a matter of fact, think of the analyst out there that's not connected to the company, maybe is interested in investing, and they're looking at their EBITDA, they're looking at their ratios, et cetera. And so when you use these technologies from the top down approach and you go to positively improve those areas that are having some issues, then of course those ratios, those numbers improve. And so that's the approach, that's the belief that we have. That's how we take this technology. That's how we present it to our customers. In my mind, that's when I have seen that the CFOs, the C-level takes that approach. That's when they get the most out of the automation initiative.
All right, I'm going to be a little self-serving here.
Please.
For a company who has not joined the Austin Technology Council yet, what would you tell them?
Do it. Do it. Very short and simple. And the thing is, you're gonna become part of a community that believes in technology, that wants to create a vision of what technology is about, and that wants to use those technologies for the betterment of the business and the community.
So, Carlos, any final words for the audience?
Always think in terms of what can be improved. If there's something that's creating a headache for you in your business, there's a solution. There's a way to automate things. There's a way to include technology. And you would be surprised. It's not as expensive sometimes as people think it is.
So if somebody wants to find out more about you or they want to learn about Makami.ai, how do they find you?
Yes, my email is carlos.martin, M-A-R-T-I-N, at Makami, that's Makami.ai.
Awesome.
And we'll be happy to talk to them.
Nice. Well, thank you. And thank you so much for being here as a guest on the show. And thank you so much for your support of the Austin Technology Council. Hey, and thanks to everybody who tuned in and listened to this podcast. You know what? Go and subscribe right now on Apple, on Spotify, on Stitcher, heck, wherever.
Absolutely.
Yeah, wherever you get your podcast joy, you can subscribe to this show. And then go and tell your friends about it, because that's the way people find podcasts. It's all about word of mouth. And then go out there and make your own waves in business and have some fun along the way. And while you're doing that, doing whatever it is that you do in business, find a way to positively impact the people who you encounter today.
Thank you for listening to the Making Waves at Sea Level podcast. Without your listening to these in-depth conversations, there would be no show. Connect with Tom at tomsinger.com and follow him on Twitter and Instagram at Tom Singer.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.